This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This hour of the Greg Hill Morning Show brought to you by Eagle Bank.
Today's guest host is a Billy Joel fan. That was her. Was that your number one concert?
Number one.
Yes, it was.
The front row, of course. Tanya, get it number one.
Yeah, she got herself up to the front row.
Piano man.
Tanya Ray Fox is here. And we have a full week of guest hosts. So you want to go over the schedule real quick, rest of the week, Ken?
Two more Nesson ladies. Alex Francisco tomorrow, Elaine Cavalieri Thursday. One of our in-house candidates, Bridget Prue, our weekend producer slash Bruins reporter. She'll be on Friday.
All right. And then are we continuing the week after? I mean, there seems to be a lot of interest in the gig. I don't know why, but
a lot of interest. So, if you approve, we've got another week lined up.
Okay. This is Brandy. Hello, Brandy.
Yes. Hi.
Actually, I cannot say the name Brandy without doing this. If you could, can you turn up the iPod for a moment? Do you still have an iPod? I still have an iPod.
I'm all on iPhone.
You know, hold on a second. One of the single greatest earmuffs that has ever been a top 40 hit in the history of earmuffs. This, Wiggy, is Looking Glass.
There's a port on the western bay.
All right, enough. Brandy, what are you calling about?
Well, actually, real quick, I was named after that song, so it's very apropos.
Yes, excellent.
But that aside, I was just calling to correct some misinformation that's out there, especially one of the last commenters who stated, A, that CDC makes money from the vaccine. And that's my son in the background, but that's patently false. Since we don't make any money from the vaccine, actually, we're funding the vaccine, and that's why it's being distributed widely, nationwide, and also the way the government is funded is through appropriations, which Congress passes on an annual basis and sometimes more on an annual basis.
Do you work for the CDC?
Anyway, so I work for the government. I'm not going to say it specifically.
Okay.
Ooh, CIA.
So if you're going to do your research, you have to research everything, just not what, you know, looks good to you, basically.
Right.
There's research for everything. Also, in terms of not getting a vaccination, I don't think that is a fair approach, because then you're relying on everyone else who is getting the vaccine to protect you, essentially. And the way it can work is that until we reach herd immunity, since some of the vaccines aren't 100% effective, or at least depending on the age group, let's
is
say...
Is that Biden,
you know,
in the background? That's
let's just say I contracted COVID after getting a vaccination, and then I'm around someone who didn't get vaccinated, and then I transmit it to them, and then now they can freely transmit it to anyone else who, even though they may have gotten vaccinated, once again, since it's not 100% effective, they could still get it. So I think it's just very unfair to have this kind of myopic, selfish view almost that You know, I'm going to...
First of all, your child sounds hungry. Has he eaten recently? everybody's entitled to their... Just because somebody disagrees with you doesn't mean their opinion is incorrect. You are allowed to have your opinion.
That baby don't agree with you, Greg.
Yeah, he's not
don't
on agree the board. With you.
That poor child. Get that child something to eat. Bottle. Some SpaghettiOs or something.
A binky.
I think we just have to have a little more empathy for each other's points of view on this.
Yes,
particularly
Tanya.
Because,
Ray. Yes, Tanya Ray.
Particularly because everybody's experienced this. Like, nobody's outside of this experience. So anybody, the fact that Wiggy's afraid to get the vaccine or might be wondering whether it's worth it for him, that's a pretty personal thing to not only say,
right.
but put out on air, and it's vulnerable. And to call it myopic or disrespectful to me is like, that's just not taking into account that people's experiences with the healthcare system are not equal. They're not the same. And when it comes to this pandemic, it is part of our healthcare system, and mm-hmm. getting this vaccine is that. And so while there are complications, if too many people potentially mm-hmm. think the way that you do, there are complications with getting herd immunity, then maybe that's what we need to address. The fear of the healthcare system and the fear of vaccines versus Wiggy specifically or anyone else specifically not wanting it. Maybe we should have a larger conversation about why it is that we are in this particular situation where people aren't really trustful. Mm-hmm. Because we do live in a society where Big Pharma has screwed over this country pretty consistently.
Wiggy's back is what you're saying.
I have his back, and even though I don't necessarily agree with not getting vaccinated long term, I also completely understand being afraid. And I don't think it's helpful to scold people who are afraid. When has that ever helped anybody?
Well, I feel like it's your body. It's your choice on what you want to put in there based on, for whatever reason, that you might want to or not want to put something into your body. So I kind of feel that way. And
But do you see how you expressing your opinion outrageous people?
Yeah, I don't got a problem with that, though.
Because they have been fed some sort of a party line, which is that you're going to be irresponsible if you don't want to do something.
Well, they're always preaching herd immunity. What if I said, you know what, you're the irresponsible one. I've had coronavirus before. Why don't you go out there and get it so we can get herd immunity, right? And we could, you know, we could be past this. I don't tell you to go get the vaccine. I don't tell you what you need to do. I don't tell you because I've had coronavirus. Hey, listen, I'm part of the herd already. You need to hurry up and either get vaccinated or get the coronavirus. I feel like your body, you should be able to do what you want. The fact that you're telling me now that you might need a vaccination card to do certain things, to me, I feel like we're turning back the hands of time here. We're going backwards.
By the way, government is saying you don't need one. Just select places.
Right. Now they're saying it. Biden said he thought we should have one. Now they're saying you won't need one. Hello, Junior.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
What's up, Junior?
Hey, guys, I would like to share my idea. And, Wiggy, I'm totally with you, mm-hmm. man. And last year was one of my best year ever. It's not that I'm against, like, because let me tell you guys, I don't think it's right if someone like me, who been since I was a kid taking care of my body. Mm-hmm. Like, I believe in herbs, take my tea, exercise, and mm-hmm. everything.
Yes.
So it's like they tell me, it's like you don't respect my freedom. You create a vaccine. If you create a vaccine to save people's life, I respect that. But understand that some people doesn't agree with it. What about my freedom? It's like you tell me, go ahead and eat fast food. You have no right to eat organic food. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, if you're fat, you cannot go to it's like a discrimination. It's like if you're fat, you cannot be a model.
Are you, Junior, are you saying legalize it, don't criticize it?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
If I create something to save people's life, mm-hmm. and I believe on my product, mm-hmm. why I need to force you to take my product?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All mm-hmm. right, so you're in the Wiggy camp.
Yeah. There are a lot of people who believe in like the holistic approach of medicine and doing those things. Yeah, like
the herbal. Pierce is one, clearly.
Yeah, the herbal approach.
Right.
The herbal approach.
Yeah, you know, I got no problem with the herbal approach.
You guys, throw some. If you're in L.A., Monica, come through. You know.
Those girls were named Herbal and Approach?
Yes. Yeah, I heard that, too.
Nothing wrong with a good little, you know, he from Cali, too. Do you know they got the best kush out there?
Are there any instances on the CDC website where herb has cured somebody of the coronavirus? Has it been a preventative use?
You smoke the right kind of herb, man. I'm telling you.
It's going to cure something.
It'll cure something.
Yes.
Ability to have critical thinking.
Hey. But at least you're going to feel good.
Here's a question for Ken. Ken, what do you mean that you just said we don't need a vaccine in select places? So do we or don't we?
Well, private, as I understand it, some colleges, universities, private places may require it, but the government will not, right? So those are places where you have a choice to go in or not.
It's very interesting. I mean, it's become a polarizing issue because there are people who feel like they should have their own choice when it comes to something like that. Yet I think that there are an awful lot of people who believe that you're being disrespectful to others.
But see, I don't get how you're disrespectful to somebody else because you don't want to put something in your body. I don't get, like, to me, that's madness.
Wiggy, do you understand? I don't agree with it, but this is a serious, serious pandemic.
And
yeah,
the
more people that are vaccinated, the less likely there is of any spread. So you taking it, while yes, it helps you inoculate from yourself from this illness, more importantly, it slows the spread across the country. So that's the thought process behind it. It's not like I'm going to take an Advil, you need to take an Advil. That has no relevance to the conversation.
Curtis, did you think twice at all about getting your shots?
No.
No.
I got my second shot yesterday. I feel like crap right now, but I'm powering through.
Yeah.
And
you sound like crap, too.
Thanks.
But you feel you feel protected, right?
Yes.
Right. So if I didn't have the vaccine and you did, you wouldn't be concerned about me spreading it to you, would you?
It's not on this level of this room. We're talking about the entire country. That's the thought process
but
behind it.
But we sat here for over a year and talked about, you know, businesses being destroyed and people being able to have the right to go out and eat in a restaurant if they choose that they want to,
right,
even though there is this pandemic going on, and taking whatever steps that the proper precaution that they wanted. Now that we have the vaccine, now it's like, okay, we've talked about it. If you want the vaccine, you are free to get it, and you can live your life. And if I don't want to get it, I should be able to
So they can protect themselves by getting the vaccine.
Right. The only one who's at risk would be the people who didn't get it. So you can open it up, and I could sit in a movie theater next to a person who's been vaccinated. They should feel fine because everybody who gets vaccinated. So you're going to now start walking around asking people, hey, did you get vaccinated?
Yeah.
Because if you didn't, I got to put my mask back on.
Show me your card.
Right.
Show me your vax card. All right.
I think we settled it.
Very interesting. Let us get, we got to get to, by the way, reminder that Lou Merlone will join us at 9. It is a Lou's day, and we'll talk baseball and other things with Lou. I was listening yesterday afternoon, and Lou and I are simpatico when it comes to business, politics, and the business of sports. And the two belong together no longer as far as we are both concerned.
You know, you're on a sports station, and you talk politics every day.
Anyway, we'll talk to Lou at 9. Right now, here is Ken and what is trending.
For nearly 30 years, the home of the Boston sports fan. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
By the way, I think at some point we need to get clarity on what Tanya Ray does for FS1, because I would like some insight on, like, the Colin Cowherds, the Skip Baylesses, the NFL Network people.
All right. Can we do that before you go?
Yeah, absolutely.
All
of
right.
course. Yeah.
All right.
Do you work with those people, correct?
Absolutely, yeah.
So you can tell us whether they're or D-bags or whatever.
I can tell you that.
All right. That's what I'm looking for. Well, the Red Sox won last night. Greg, that's a big thing.
Big thing.
Yeah, 11-2.
It's a great thing.
They're
turning this thing around.
critical win, though. When you say you go 0-4, I mean, you're in a hole they might not get out of.
Against a good team.
Yeah,
at least a good team last year.
Everybody thought they were going to go 0-162. Now you turn things around.
Tanya, 16 hits.
Tanya, yes. Skip Bayless vaccinated?
I don't know. We should be able to tell by all his selfies he posts with his shirt off. Keep a shirt
on. He doesn't
on.
See a lot of people, so he's not a super spreader, that's for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Multiple hits for Bogarts, Verdugo, Renfro, Franchi Cordero. Here is Xander Bogarts, who went 4-for-5. The only guy missing is Rafael Devers, and he talks about him getting started, too.
Yeah, we had a great game. You know, a lot of guys got their hits. A lot of guys perform the way they would want to. And obviously, we have one guy that, you know, that's not getting the knocks as of now. But I told him, man, listen, hey, when your knocks come, they're going to come in bunches, you know, because that's the type of player that you are. You know how to hit. It's not like he forgot how to hit. You know, his last couple of bats, he hit the ball well.
We got to get Devers going, and then they'll have a good heart of the order there.
Pitching's been, you know, decent.
Pretty good.
Over, yeah, it's been decent. Yep. Over even in the losses, besides that one loss, I mean, the pitching's been pretty decent.
Sam Darnold traded by the Jets to Carolina 3 years after they took him third overall in the draft. Three picks back, second and a fourth next year. Sixth round pick this year. Clears the deck for Zach Wilson from BYU, likely. And Carolina now has a decision to make. Wiggy, Teddy Bridgewater, the eighth pick, or do they go with Darnold now for a multi-year deal?
I think they go with both of them and let them, you know, one's the starter, one's the backup.
Baseball's All-Star game, by the way, heading to Coors Field in Denver. That's been decided. Bruins lose in overtime to the Flyers. Travis Sanheim's breakaway winner after Bergeron blew a tire. Bees unable to hold a 2-1 third-period lead. Cassidy, Greg, very critical of Jeremy Lazan's holding penalty in the third, which led to that power play.
Yeah, I mean, he's been all over him.
Yeah.
Second time in a week that he's been vocal about his criticism of that player.
Miss Chara, but more evidence they missed the veteran D, Wiggy.
Stop it.
Bruins rematch with the Flyers tonight, 7 o'clock faceoff in Philly. Celtics host the Sixers, 7:30 tonight. Baylor over Gonzaga in the national title game last night, and Paul Pierce let go by ESPN after that video surfaced from his IG.
Your boy looked good in that stole last night, the Vlad.
Uh-huh.
And I'm starting to wonder if maybe is him and Halak, are they kind of like taking some of that concern that you might have had with Tuca?
By the way
that they're playing.
I think so.
Okay. Because I feel that way a little bit.
Listen, I may be an idiot, but for me, the concern with the Bruins is only injuries. I'm not worried about them. Mm-hmm. I get it. Are they struggling when it comes to full strength and putting the puck in the net? Yes. But they've won big games. Are we having Sean Corrali on this week? We got to get him back on the show.
Good call. Yeah, he's due.
We'll get him on Thursday. But I think that they're going to come playoff time. They're going to be okay. So,
but do you think come playoff time it'll be?
I think Tuca will be back. Yes.
Okay. All right.
I do.
That's why these games with Philly are so important. That's the one team in the five seed right now threatening them a bit.
Yeah.
It's the Greg Hill Morning Show.
This is the Greg Hill Show on EEI.
Attempt at a nod to Tanya's love of Fleetwood Mac, Ken Laird?
Yeah, Stevie Nicks.
That's Stevie Nicks solo.
Right.
That's not Fleetwood Mac.
I don't want to be too predictable, Greg.
Oh.
Thoughtfully non-rhythmic, that's what I go
for. Did you just say that?
Yeah.
You don't want to be predictable.
Right.
You've been defending Major League Baseball all morning for moving the All-Star game to a state that requires voter IDs.
Not really. You've been misportraying my rage about voter ID.
I have been.
Strawman argument.
I hope you're ready to arm yourself for battle with Lou Merlone coming up at 9 o'clock because I know he's going to go right at you.
All right, let's go. Let's do it.
I mean, what is the difference in your mind between Denver and, or let's say, Colorado and Georgia?
They haven't passed a 16-bullet-point, 98-page voting.
Okay, so they just require, don't page. They? Do they make it? Does Colorado make it harder for disenfranchised people to vote because they have to have a voter ID?
They don't have a law that says state officials can suspend county elections and take over local election boards.
I asked you, do they make it more difficult for people to vote because they require a voter ID?
I don't know anything about voter IDs in Colorado.
Oh, you don't?
Nor do I care, frankly.
You don't? You care about them in Georgia?
I don't.
No, he cares about the guy.
You claim that that's what I care about.
What do you care about?
Again, state officials overturning local elections – at a whim.
Right,
of,
that can
of
happen.
One handpicked representative. Power in the hands of one rather than a body which is self-governing with checks and balances.
Ken, do you realize, do you live in a state with checks and balances?
Yes.
Massachusetts.
We have a Republican governor.
Okay. He's not even, he wouldn't even tell you he's a Republican. So you, so you admit
can we get
that
to the dirt on Skip Bayless?
No, Ken, you admit you live in a state without checks and balances.
Yeah, so. I don't, actually. Yes.
You don't? So Massachusetts
you
has...
vote, and you lose every year.
What are you talking about?
Tanya Rae Fox is our guest host this morning. She came from Los Angeles. She's from here, from Plymouth, and you work for Fox. So Ken wants to know what you do over there.
So I'm a news editor, and what that is essentially I just work with the shows, the talk shows, on developing their topics, mm-hmm. making sure they kind of feel comfortable with where they're at in, you know, addressing more touchy subjects, trying to figure out certain angles and ways to hit on things, and just kind of listening to the producers and the talent and, you know, giving them what they need in terms of help on building the topics of the show.
So, yeah. So do you talk to the talent like on the phone or like on a Zoom call?
Well, yeah. Before I was in production meetings, usually with the producers, except for in The Herd, Colin does his production meeting with his whole crew every mm-hmm. morning. So it was usually with the producers, and then you talk to the talent later in the green room or something like that. Now it's over Zoom. I'm doing it over conference call and stuff like that. Yeah. Which is not, that's not, it's not ideal.
He should call his show The Herd Immunity.
The Herd Immunity. That's what he's waiting for. Yeah. So he does his, everybody does their show differently. Every set group of producers and mm-hmm. talent do their show differently. So I mostly am on The Herd and Speak for Yourself in terms of like the crews that I work with.
So yep. who do you want to know about? Who do you want dirt on?
Well, Skip Bayless, first of all, is he well liked? Is he authentic?
Yeah. So Skip, the weird part about Skip is that he's pretty like introverted outside of being on the show.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a super gregarious guy.
I'm
yeah, so
guy.
He's
I don't like to go out at all or anything.
He's yes. uber.
Yeah, Ken only goes out
I know that that's not true. I've heard tell. He's just like he's. First of all, he's very chill and friendly. If you see mm-hmm. him in the hallway, he will wave hello and go do his business. He's not like he's not overly gregarious, but mm-hmm. he's not rude ever. He's and quite honest, he's just like focused on doing the show, working out, eating
shirtless selfies.
Like baked chicken. Yeah.
And Jordans.
Yeah. And his life is super, super structured. So there isn't going out in the North End for, you know, for cocktails and steaks and things like that. That's not his life. He doesn't enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Coward. Mm-hmm. He likes a little casual social scene.
Okay.
So he'll tell you about the restaurants in Manhattan yeah. Beach and things like that. Yeah. He's more of a like go out and do stuff guy.
And you said you worked on Speak for Yourself. Wasn't that with Jason yeah. Whitlock?
Yes.
Now how was he?
No comment.
No comment.
Right.
Not a good dude.
Yeah, he's one of my less favorite people I've ever
really?
Had to work with. Yeah, he's never rude to me. He just wasn't easy to sort of communicate with. And mm-hmm. when you're doing this kind of job, like you scout out the talent that want to get better and want to work with you. And he wasn't necessarily. He didn't come across that way to me. He wasn't rude though.
Right.
Like he wasn't a bad guy. Or like rude to be around or anything
it's
like
not
that.
Your favorite.
Just not my favorite to work with. I like guys who like a lot of those guys in those roles.
Mm-hmm.
They genuinely value the input of the people on their team,
right?
And want to incorporate that to make a more well-rounded show. And that's kind of lame. I know I sound like stupid, you know, sort of nitpicking that. But it does when you're looking at the quality of shows.
Mm-hmm.
The diversity of opinion is important. And like understanding your brand is also important. Skip Bayless he makes a lot of money
mm-hmm.
based on understanding his brand. So there's no disrespect to that. But it upsets the balance of a show when you're not
right.
able to kind of go with the flow that way.
We got your thoughts earlier on Belichick or Brady.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll ask you before you go some of the topics that come up frequently on this radio station.
Yeah.
With regard to the Celtics, Wiggy believes that there needs to be a wholesale house cleaning over there, Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens. What do you think of the Celtics situation?
So I have a theory about basketball coaches, which is that they almost always don't matter unless they kind of do. And I know that's like a weird way to say it, but Brad Stevens is one of the few basketball coaches that matters. He's one of the few NBA coaches that matters because of his type of coaching. Like, there are, to me, Steve Kerr is a leader, I don't know that his coaching is really necessary to the team's success.
You mean because the guys who are there don't
superstars.
Want
superstars.
Well, just because they don't. I mean, you got if you have a
they
Steph
want to call
Curry,
the timeouts. They don't want him calling timeouts.
If you have a Steph Curry or you have a LeBron or you have these guys, they're doing a lot of that work on certain types of teams. Superstar, like first ballot Hall of Fame players. You don't. That's just how the NBA works. Is you don't actually need the coach in the same way. Doesn't mean you don't need the coach. They just you don't need it in the same way on the court in game. The Celtics do, and I think Brad Stevens still needs to be there. So I think Danny Ainge is who has to go. And I don't have any personal problem with it, Danny Ainge or whatever else. But there is a problem with – there's obviously chemistry issues that keep popping up. If you can't make Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum work with Marcus Smart, who I think – these guys have been together for years. If there's a chemistry issue, then something else is wrong. There's no reason that they shouldn't be getting along on court and being able to figure it out. And the jacking up threes and stuff by Marcus Court at the end of Marcus Smart at the end of the games is that's Brad Stevens clearly not understanding where his role is. And to me, that a new GM, somebody in that position to kind of come in and look at where the issues are is important, because getting rid of Brad Stevens is not going to fix that team.
Yeah, but isn't the coach's job to make sure guys know what their role is? So isn't it Brad Stevens' job to go over to Marcus Smart
and
say, hey, listen, you only get 5 shots a game. You know, whether those are 2s or 3s, that's what you – here's your role. Hey, Jason, your role is this. You put us on your back. Jaylen Brown, this
but
is your role.
But don't you think it's interesting that this team didn't necessarily respond until Danny Ainge called the players out? And now they've won 2 in a row?
Yeah, you beat the Charlotte Hornets.
You can only tell players to take on a role that they're capable of. It's you can say this is your role, this is your role, this is where you need to be on the court at a certain amount of time. But if you don't have the players, the right group of players to do that, or if there is a lack of chemistry, an NBA coach really isn't going – think of back over the course of watching the NBA. How many coaches have you seen fix that specific –
Yeah, but I think
you need to get the right players in there, and he's not responsible for
you
that.
Brought up the Golden State Warriors and Steve Kerr. I think it's more about managing the egos of your superstars than it is about coaching, and that's what some of these coaches do when they have superstar players. And when you look at Brad Stevens, he doesn't know how to manage the egos, because he comes from a place where, hey, we're all equal. There's no captain here. We're all captains. So guess what, Time Lord? If you want to chime in, the floor is yours. Where it's not, it doesn't work like that in basketball. It's a hierarchy. There's the alpha.
Yeah, the players decide the hierarchy, though. The coach doesn't say, this is your leader, follow him. They have to decide that amongst themselves. And Jason Tatum clearly hasn't grown into that. Otherwise, he would have taken it. And if Jaylen Brown isn't a natural sort of leader in that way, if he's a leader more off the court or as a example for the players in other ways, great. But somebody does have to take that spot, and they have to be the one. The team and themselves have to decide that. You never have a coach or a GM tell you who that is.
Their biggest mistake was not getting James Harden. He would have put everything would have fallen into place if they would have got him. That was their number one mistake, because he becomes the alpha dog, the leader, and the basically what he is the facilitator, like he is in Brooklyn.
This is Scott. Hey, Scott.
Hey, good morning, Greg. How are you?
What's going on?
Hey, great show so far. I got to say, just to be blunt, I think Wiggy's points are probably more spot on than Tanya's, though she has some valid points.
Yes.
And that's not because Wiggy knows more, doesn't know more, but he's played. He gets it. He may not have played basketball, but he's played professional sports. He understands, the egos. He understands the people in the room. And what ultimately, I think what it comes down to is he's right. Brad Stevens has coached these guys up to a certain point, they underachieve or overachieved, I should say, without Kyrie Irving that one season when he was injured during the playoffs. And then they overachieved a couple more years. But when they get these stars on the team, it's almost like I feel like Jason Tatum right now is playing specifically to get that max contract. And to Wiggy's point recently, they beat the Charlotte Hornets. Okay. And they beat the Houston Rockets. Okay, talk to us when they start beating teams that are, ahead of them in the playoff standings right now. And those are the games that matter. I mean, all the games matter ultimately, but you got to start winning these games that are important. Otherwise, you're going to be out in the first seed. And as far as Danny Ainge, it's hard for Danny to make these deals when he's fleeced so many teams in the past. These guys don't want to be the next one. They don't want to be the next Brooklyn Nets. They don't want to be some of these other teams. And I mean, he had to decide, do I trade Marcus Smart?
So Brad Stevens is not the guy, as far as you're concerned.
I think he's the guy to a point. It depends on who you bring in. I don't agree with Wiggy on James Harden, but you do need to have a player that can say, hey, I'm the guy, but not James Harden. Maybe somebody like, it's tough because I would never take Kyrie back. I would never want Kevin Durant on my team, and I wouldn't want James Harden on the Celtics.
And Brooklyn's doing, you don't want none of those guys. And look how Brooklyn's doing. They're only the best team in the Eastern Conference. Some may say they might be the best team in the NBA.
Durant's losing it. He's lashing out against Michael Rappaport.
Yeah, well, that's different. I mean, you know what? You can't expose the man's private DMs. And James Harden leads the NBA.
Wiggy never holds anybody accountable.
That's rule number one. You can't go the private messages and then put them on blast.
I always thought rule number one when you're a public figure is you know that nothing's private.
Come on, man.
This is Sean. Hello, Sean.
Yes. Hey. Yes, good morning.
What's up, Sean?
Yeah, just a couple comments on the vaccine.
Hey.
What people... Hello?
Yeah. We're not talking about the vaccine right now.
No, that was Scott warming his way in.
Was that Scott from Weymouth?
Yep.
Wow.
Sean and Sharon. Good.
He actually got a like 30 seconds.
Sean and Sharon. I'm surprised you didn't pick that up.
Well, I didn't look at the town. He does the alliteration on the towns.
Yeah, it was Sean and Sharon.
Scott from Weymouth has a lifetime ban on this radio
station. I think
station.
I heard that, yeah. Yeah. I know. I pay attention when you say Weymouth because my parents are from Weymouth.
Right? So sure.
Yeah, exactly.
So are there any questions that you have for us? I mean, we've interviewed you for the last couple hours. Do you have any questions for us?
I mean, it's one of those things where I kind of know you guys a little more than you know me because I've listened to the show.
Yeah.
So, you know.
You know what to expect.
Yeah, I knew what to expect. I think the cool part about this show, which I said on social media before I came on, was that I talk sports all day. I've only ever covered sports in my adult life. But that's not my only interest point.
Right.
And there are times when it is nice to get the break and talk about stuff that's going on, politics, music, food, whatever else.
Food, we talk a lot.
You talk a lot of food, and you know what's funny?
We talk a lot of documentaries.
Yeah,
I love documentaries.
They love them.
Have you guys seen the Maradona documentary?
No, I have not.
Okay, watch the Diego Maradona documentary on, I think it's on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who he was?
Yeah, he just passed away not too long ago.
Yes, exactly. Like, one of the best sports documentaries I've watched in a while. And it is, I mean, it's obviously mostly in foreign language, but it's very easy to follow. It's not like watching an artiste film. Mm-hmm. It's because he's speaking, you know, Spanish and Italian.
I watched Roll, Red, Roll.
Yes, I watched that too.
Mm-hmm. On the Steubenville rape situation.
Yeah.
Pretty good documentary.
Yeah, it's a really good documentary. Yeah. I'm very interested in criminal justice and in the process of, you know, how we go about not only how the police work in these investigations, but also how prosecutors will worm their way into those situations. And it's kind of like why I've been following the Deshaun Watson case so closely is because, like, you watch these documentaries and you think you understand how all of this goes. You say, like, there's this many accusers and this many people who say he didn't do it, and we can just figure this out if we think about it long enough. And, like, you forget that there's all these other forces at play. If it does go into a criminal justice system, who's doing the investigation? How are they doing it? What is the police work like? And what is the intention of the prosecutor? And how do those two work together? And there's so much more than just us sitting here and being like, do you think he's guilty or innocent? It's like the system itself is so far out of our hands.
What do you think of the Deshaun Watson situation?
I think that 40 masseuses is too many.
For one person?
I think it's too many for one person to have had, and there's something that's like already a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
I
you say that's suspect.
It's very suspect.
If you've had 40 different masseuses
during
a pandemic,
it's
during
so
a global
suspect.
Pandemic,
it's
suspect.
It's not even a question. It's incredibly suspect, especially for an athlete of his caliber, especially like with the way he has to take care of his body, protect his own privacy, keep himself in specific situations that are beneficial to him. Nobody would ever, ever, ever advise you to do that. Doesn't mean he's committing a crime. I'm just telling you, it's mad suspicious.
I never thought about it that way, but it is really suspicious.
Well, it is really weird that you need that many.
Yeah.
But then it's
here comes an excuse. Hold on.
No. It's even weirder.
Here it comes.
It's even weirder that half of them say
less than half.
What was 18?
Yeah, 18
out of 22. Okay, so a little bit less than half. Half of them say, and who put their names on it, never had an issue with him. And then the other half had issues with him. And then it's all
taken. This bank robber.
It all is taken
from Bank of America, but he didn't steal from Wells Fargo.
Yeah. I will say that's the most. The 18 women coming forward is mind-boggling to me. Mm-hmm. And here's why. Just because someone didn't commit a crime against you doesn't mean they didn't commit a crime against someone else. That's not how this works. Someone else being assaulted by someone who didn't assault you, there's no correlation there. We're making A plus B equal like 23. It doesn't make any sense. There is no correlation between not being assaulted. So when I worked at the NFL Network, I spent 4 months every day alone in a green room pretty consistently with Darren Sharper. I have my alerts on with people. I've had my own situations happen.
You have?
Yeah, absolutely. Not with Darren Sharper, but like I've had things happen where that would make me suspicious of somebody who felt like they might be dangerous. I knew nothing. He was always nice. He never made me creeped out. He talked about his family. There was never any red flag with me. I was alone with a serial rapist many times and never knew. And he never tried to do anything to me. And so when serial rapist, you know, it's revealed that he's done all of this, the idea that I would come out and be like, I just want it on record, he didn't do anything to me. People would be like, well, okay, what is that? That has nothing to do with this. Like, congrats.
Well said.
You escaped alive.
Well, I mean, I were locker mates.
Like,
Was it you or was it J. Charles Wiggins?
Well,
you should start using an alias.
J. Charles Wiggins.
You should say that you weren't on the Vikings cruise. J. Charles Wiggins was.
Well, yes. I don't know. I don't know what that was.
I would like to hear J. Charles's response to that excellent, excellent story.
Sometimes there are people that, when you look at it, their behavior is you don't think, because I didn't see that with Darren Sharper. I was the same way. But I didn't know Darren Sharper for 5 or 6 years or 7 years. It kind of comes off as, and I think this whole thing, you know, I don't know what direction is, but it comes off as a little sketchy when it's all in 1 year. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing to me that this has all taken place in 1 year, that the 22 women have all of a sudden come out in 1 year, and then there's 18 women who have said...
Well, is it possible that the way he used to meet women was out in public and that he couldn't do that during a pandemic?
There would still be situations I feel like that he would have done in the past. Because I'm going to bet you in the Darren Sharper situation, and I think there were some women like that happened prior to that, years before.
Wiggy, you can't keep talking around this.
What
Tanya Ray just said debunks
said.
The entire argument that Deshaun Watson has. His only defense is that he could find 18 women he didn't sexually assault.
See, Curtis believes he did it. Right. I don't believe that he did. I think I need more information.
We know that, yeah.
No, I was going to say, do you believe he did it?
I believe that there was, I think that there was inappropriate stuff done. I mean, the women who have said the stuff that they've said, like, it's not that I think he's guilty until proven innocent. I'm not a court of law. Mm-hmm. And there needs to be way more proof for him to be convicted of this in a court of law. Mm-hmm. And that's important to remember. But there's a difference.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, Wiggy defends John Wayne Gacy. Says he was a good neighbor.
He has a good documentary that's out there.
I want to thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, good stuff.
Actually, you know what? Maybe stick around because we're going to talk baseball with Lou. Cool. So we'll see if we can talk a little bit of baseball.
Yeah.
So we'll keep you here. We'll be right back.
Cool.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network. From big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.